I can say I'm actually really grateful to this movie for one thing, because I grew up playing all these games, you know, Pac-Man and Centipede and all that. I mean, I've really, like, spent ridiculous amounts of money on these games, and there's always been that little bit of a warm, fuzzy feeling left in my heart for them, you know, where, like, if they one, like, an emulator comes on, I'll play it for 10 minutes before I go, why did I do that? I know I wasn't going to enjoy myself anymore. Pixels has totally dissolved any remaining fuzzy nostalgia.
You
I
mean
have for that.
You don't want to bone Qbert?
No, I decidedly do.
It seems pretty deep. That's all I'm saying.
We are reviewing Pixels with the Unusual Suspects. I'm Chris.
JC.
Mwah-mwah.
What?
Elliot, sorry.
Ashley, sorry, I was so distracted by Elliot. I forgot I was going to go next. Sarah.
Oh, that's how Qbert's supposed to talk, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is Adam Sandler saying, hey, I want to do an action film. Nobody's going to believe you as an action hero. We can make it for kids.
Yeah.
Make it about all the stuff I grew up with. Well, Adam, here's a briefcase full of money. Okay, let's do it. Let's get this together. We'll call Chris Columbus.
I think you're completely right. Like, it felt like I was watching a screenwriter who had read Ready Player One, watched Armageddon, and The Rock, and said, and Wreck-It Ralph, and we're just going to form all these together.
But actually knew nothing about any of those things.
Yeah.
More about video games, period.
This film is so shockingly devoid of talent in every aspect except for possibly a certain amount of colorful fun watching the actual video game action parts of it, which even then aren't very creatively designed, but there's something entertaining of watching Pac-Man eat people.
Right. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, like that sequence, the general idea of like this happening.
General idea.
Cool idea.
But they didn't get past the basic conceit in terms of like plotting or scripting or like really anything. Did they make up all these jokes on the way? It felt like very typical
jokes. Well, the mark of the quality, first of all, is an aged Dan Aykroyd. The point at which he makes a cameo, you know you're in for a treat.
Did you see why?
I want to beat you to it.
His crystal skull.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first moment I knew I was in for a treat. But the second moment I knew I was in for a treat was before the third act starts. We're all confused. So Qbert comes in to explain to us what's happening. And it was at that point that I was like, oh, script.
Oh, wise Qbert.
The story here follows Adam Sandler plays Sam Brenner. I know you laughed at me saying story. Who was in the 1980s. We see, of course, it starts with flashback sequence. He was like the best of the best, really, video gaming guy. He was a prodigy.
Around!
He could, like, play a video, watch somebody playing a video game once, and then be the best in the world at it. He was just that good. But he lost all his confidence when he lost in the big competition against a young version of Peter Dinklage playing Eddie Plant, who was a complete asshole, who beat him in the final Donkey Kong off. It's flash of years later, Sandler is inexplicably working for, like, a nerd herd type group.
They watch Chuck.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, I mean, really, you lost that much confidence? You're clearly genius level intellect, not because you're good at video games, because you're good at instantly deciphering patterns.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was no explanation as to why he was working that job. It wasn't like, oh, I sprained my wrist in 85 and it ruined my life. But it was just like, I was good at video games and then I realized I didn't want to play video games anymore.
Yeah, like, if anything, we know from the gaming industry today, like, people who are that good at those video games back in the day, like, made something of themselves.
A lot of them did.
Or they burned out completely and died. Yeah.
But, I mean, they do, like, some window dressing towards saying why his life is the way it is when they say, like, oh, his wife got with the doctor that they were trying to have a baby with. Well, so we can, and I'm not saying this is making it better, but we can, like, do the a wizard did it and say, oh, well, maybe he had a better job and his wife was there, but he had a mental breakdown he's working at Nerd Herd.
They kind of establish it in that whenever he's up to, like, a real challenge, he just kind of folds.
He crumbles.
Yeah.
But even more inexplicable is how his young best friend, Will Cooper, played by Kevin James, has become the president of the United States.
Of the United States.
Oh, yes.
So did you wait? In the case monkey you president. Didn't hear that, not the president of the bowling league, the president of the United States of America.
That's the country we live in.
And they even, like, to be clear, this is an Adam Sandler movie. He's playing Kevin James from every other Adam Sandler movie, a bumbling idiot.
Oh, no. He's playing Kevin James from every Adam Sandler movie and Hitch. Because he even does the dance moves from Hitch.
Are you like, supposed to be Gerald Ford? I can't tell.
You know what? I didn't vote for him. I voted for Ron Paul.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, if the choice in real life was between Kevin James or Donald Trump, I might go Donald Trump.
I'll go Kevin James. I go Kevin James.
I'd go for Kubert. Okay? Let's just say President Kubert kind of rolls off the tongue.
Don't blame me. I voted for Kodos. But when everything goes a little crazy in his life, when a alien race who received one of those NASA sent out satellites with bits of our culture
and watched Futurama
interpreted the samples of video games we sent out there as a challenge, a declaration of war, and so somehow they've created an entire alien fleet made up of versions of our video games to attack us. You know, just don't think about it too much, because believe me, if there was ever a movie that really said the only way you can ever enjoy this is if you're already brain dead, it's Pixels. And who can, they can't fight these things. What do you do? Well, Kevin James knows there's one guy who can fight him, and that's Adam Sandler.
And also, more importantly, how do you fight these things? Just make up some rules.
Just make up rules as you go.
Just make up a pretend gun, and yeah, that works.
Video game it, and have all of the Navy SEALs just turn into blubbering babies.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to be the odd man out here. I'm not saying this is a good movie, because Lord knows it's not.
We would jump all over
you. I'm just saying, for whatever reason, the way it hit me today, I actually found myself laughing, because maybe Josh Gad.
No, I think the reason you were laughing is because the love interest that was supposed to have half a thought about Adam Sandler, Michelle Monaghan.
Who is usually wonderful.
Who is usually wonderful. There's this one scene where they're going to the soiree. They're going to the soiree.
The video game black tie event.
Yeah, obviously. And she walks in from a side door, and Adam Sandler, with a dumb look on his face and his like trashy tuxedo, you think he's going to lead her to her table. But it turns out she's interested in him.
You're like, wait, what's happening in this film?
Don't tell me you're not attracted to schlubby, overweight Adam Sandler.
Hey, 208.
With zero charm and charisma or wit or, like, you know what? They point out early in this movie that she is shallow and
messed up.
Yeah, well, and she's also apparently a slut.
Well, let's say y'all were placing bets before me of saying, like, okay, how long before they do something really sexist? And there are points you're like, you're touching on it, but that point where he's like, she's like, just found out her husband is leaving her for another woman, like a much younger woman, and she's crying alone in the closet, and he goes in to comfort her, and they have this conversation, and then he leans in for a kiss, and she's like, what are you doing? My fucking husband just left me. Then, oh no, she's a bitch now.
Yeah,
that's what the movie tells.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Because we were taking bets. Let's make. I'm sorry. Price is Right rules. How long is it going to go without saying something $1. Racist, sexist, or homophobic without going over?
Well, racist was in the first 10 minutes.
Well, I was actually going to say racist was in the title card. When in the Happy Madison title card, an old Asian man is playing golf. I feel like that should count.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, well, he's
was that an Asian man?
I think it was.
I don't know.
I thought it was like an old sailor. I don't know why.
Why can't sailors be Asian, you racist?
Oh, yeah, that is true.
A lot of them are.
You know, there's a lot of like, why are you in this movie?
Peter Dinklage.
Like, Josh Gad, a guy I actually think is pretty funny here, is just humiliating himself throughout this movie. And really is, like, I mean, he's the source of many of the moments of the film where they're like, hey, even though most of this is just for little kids, even though it's all about really obscure stuff from the 80s, we're going to have lots of even more obscure stuff from the 80s sequences with Josh Gad. Why were those things happening? Why are they making him such a blithering idiot?
I can tell you why. He's the voice of the guy from Frozen.
Yeah, probably.
And, like, seriously, I think that's the appeal that they cast him. It's like, okay, he sounds like the guy from Olaf. Well, sounds like Olaf.
I mean, Josh Gad, he's been in a bunch of stuff recently. I mean, I see that he's been moving up in his career, but I'm just saying, why did he want this?
Yeah, that's the thing. He's been on such a good track lately, and it's like, yeah.
And Peter Dinklage, I mean, think is maybe, like, he owes his agent a favor. Like, they offered him a ridiculous amount of money to do it, and his agent was like, please, please, I need money so bad. Please just say yes to this movie.
Either that or his agent. For this role, he goes, you know what, you're not going to have to talk in that weird accent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but what was that accent? I don't think Peter Dinklage remembers how to talk like an American, because he was doing this, like, weird ghetto slash maybe British kind of thing.
Sort of Southern, like, almost.
Yeah, and then it changed. to be almost his natural accent.
It's like if Billy Bob Thornton got drunk.
Yep. Yeah, it was very confusing. I mean,
Game of Brogues.
This,
you know, I didn't hate that. I really didn't. I liked it.
This and Knights of Badassium. I don't think Peter Dinklage is made for comedy.
Didn't he have a mullet in that one too?
He did, a brown mullet. Yeah. It's a different mullet.
Who keeps putting mullets on Peter Dinklage?
They give him weird hair. Like in Days of Future Past, he had weird '70s hair, which I mean is appropriate, but still.
Yeah.
You know, all things said, Peter Dinklage, I forgive you.
Well, he's still Tyrion, so.
I love him so much, you guys. I just love him so much.
And then Sean Bean as well.
Who I love.
Who didn't die.
Who surprisingly does not.
Are you sure?
I'm sure he did not die.
We're going to have to watch the director's cut now.
He's like, I made it out.
Yeah, then Cassie, he's just here to be like, oh, you're the asshole military guy who hates nerds, which is even more surprising that they didn't kill him.
Yeah.
So he's like, nerds are cool. Yeah, okay, movie written 7 years ago.
I mean, if there's one part of this movie that actively did make me a little bit pissed off, and I was like, okay, I'm going with it, and I can see what it's doing. Spoilers for this movie.
Warned.
The end. They win. And the literal and figurative trophy is a woman.
Yep.
It's just like, there's winking at sexism, and then there's just straight up just saying this woman's a trophy.
Not just that. The mechanics of that was basically Josh Gad's character being upset about how the woman that he desires, the video game character he desires, wasn't left, but Hubert was. With no explanation. It's just like, you know what, fuck it. Yeah. Let's make Hubert the woman.
Yeah, and it goes back to that old, like, nerd way of thinking that, like...
I deserve this.
Yeah. I beat the bad guy. I saved the world. I deserve the dialogue-less woman.
No lines, not one.
Well, let's not forget... Well, actress we actually do recognize and know is incredibly talented who's in this, Jane Krakowski, who plays the wife of Kevin James, who is given, what, like one word of dialogue
in this film?
Tone it down.
Yeah, tone it down was it.
Yeah.
She's saying things in that scene in the cake shop, which is...
Yeah, but they're just sort of meaningful. Like... Yeah.
Honestly, you know, I think you may have touched on something in that I think Adam Sandler, his storytelling is stuck in that dynamic of 80s, like, you're the nerd... You do something you're not expecting, and you get the girl.
Oh, totally.
Like, he's so stuck there. And when he does stuff like Funny People, he breaks out of it, but when he's trying to do his fun movies, he can't go anywhere but that. Like, that's where he is.
I want to give him credit for one thing, which is that they didn't go to a Hooters. Which I found surprising.
Yeah.
I thought Hooters basically bankrolled him these days.
I will say this movie was definitely, like, they were, like, Chris Columbus is directing this. And it felt like he said, you can't have any more, you can't have all the sex jokes and all that stuff, because kids are going to come see this.
There was a joke
with a random one-line slut missile thing.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Slut-seeking missile? Yeah. All right.
Well, there was like a random line at the end that you could tell they changed to make it from hand job to handshake.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, that was definitely supposed to be hand job.
Oh, that was another thing. That cameo. Yeah. That was like that unsettling. Like,
That's one of the happy medicine tropes that's just kind of irritating me. It's just like, let's get people from the sports world and let's just, for whatever reason, have them do stuff.
Well, I'll tell you this. Okay, so there's a whole sequence of Peter Dinklage wants to be able to, you know, says, I'll help you guys fight off these aliens that have come, but you have to let me go on a dream date with Serena Williams and Martha Stewart, which says to me, well, we asked a bunch of people, and the only ones who would say yes to be in this fucking movie was Serena Williams and Martha Stewart, because it's just so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, I mean, Serena Williams is, like, a huge nerd, apparently. Like, she did a voice for Avatar The Last Airbender.
Well, that doesn't necessarily make her a huge nerd.
She was one of the the prison guards in season 3 when Ira was in prison.
It also doesn't mean she deserves to be in this movie.
Take that movie! She tried her best. She hit...
Oh, she was fabulous!
Neon ball.
Yeah. I was knocking the movie.
She's a tennis player. I knew that.
I just don't get why you would put Peter Dinklage in your movie and make him the most unlikable character.
That's
the part that baffles me the most. It's like, wow, people love Peter Dinklage. Why would you have him play such a poorly written, complete jack-off of a character here?
A taint, as it were.
I mean, I don't think any of these characters were very likable. Maybe Josh Gad's character a bit, and Q-Bert. Every time Q-Bert came on screen, I was like, oh, Q-Bert.
Oh, I wasn't falling for this movie's trying to
push it. I was like, I don't care. He's so cute. Also, I want one.
Is that just the license they could get? No one likes Qbert. Why didn't they get like Why didn't they get like any other video game?
I loved Qbert.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Really?
I was a big fan of that one. But
I also just thought it was interesting because of all the characters that don't that need to like talk a lot. Yeah. They picked Qbert.
Yeah.
Like, it was just a very interesting decision.
I tell you, it's just, it feels like Adam Sandler just doesn't have the chops he thinks he does. Because, like, when Grown Ups got made, he apparently had just watched The Hangover. It's like, we got to step our game up. So they made Grown Ups.
Which is the same time.
And so this one, they probably watched Wreck-It Ralph.
I don't think he cares.
I think he does. I think he does.
I don't think he does anymore because his movies always make money. There's that loyal crowd of Adam Sandler fans out there. Those the same people who, you know, go who buy their books at Walmart, you know,
buy vampire books
on the new shelf. It's this is for, you know, the mentality of 10-year-olds really here, and but people who are in their 40s.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's I don't understand the combination. They're like, kids are going to go, I don't know what all these game things are. I don't know what
shit, I didn't know what half of them
Space
were.
Space Invaders are. I mean, like, and even the movie comments on the fact that the kid in here doesn't know what those things are. You're like, so who are you making this movie for? You're making it for Adam Sandler and his friends. That's who you're making it for. And there's unfortunately a lot of guys in the world.
I think you're giving him too much credit. I think he's really trying. And he just doesn't know what the hell he's doing.
Well, I just think he's dated, you guys. Like, he's just making the same movies, and the world moved on, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, I would disagree with the point that he's trying, because, like, when, to echo Chris's point, like, to thinking back...
I can't sneeze, it was really adorable.
He doesn't do a lot of physical comedy here.
No.
And as he gets older, it almost seems like he does less and less physical comedy. And there's even the one scene where you can almost sort of see the writing on the wall where he's like, Josh Gad, you go nuts, you go crazy, you do all the funny things, and then I'll come in and calmly explain what's going on. And it's like, that doesn't work. That's not Adam Sandler.
He's like, I don't want to do the screamy thing anymore. I don't want to be that character. I'm the voice of reason character.
Adam Sandler likes to paint himself as this guy who is more attractive than he actually is and more charming. And that's really what he tried to do here. And it goes back to what Chris said, that like he acted shocked when the woman wouldn't kiss him back and call her a bitch, and like they had this, it's supposed to be a cute tension between them, but really it was just like, okay, you are mean and bitter that she wouldn't kiss you.
And to expand upon that, like, just this is one of the first movies of his where I'm thinking, like, he's not aging well.
Yeah. No.
He's overweight, he doesn't shave, like, he's
It's a lot of chicken wings, dude. He loves Pooter.
No, he's famous for, even when he goes out to public events, he just shows up in, like, shorts and sneakers and a t-shirt, and that's fine. If I was rich as Adam Sandler, I'd be like, fuck you, I'm not putting on a tux.
But there's
a dress comfortable, but at least for your movie.
Yeah. There's a Kevin Smith line you do not want to cross. Where you're like, you've been wearing too many jean shorts, buddy.
The Kevin Smith line is casting Kevin Smith in your film.
Take that.
I know, but I think...
Well, not Smith, Kevin James.
I feel like I spent the entire movie between Michelle Monaghan and Adam Sandler waiting for her to lower her standards. I was like, oh, you're going to... like, because that's what the movie was saying.
You knew it was going to happen. Yeah. It was like, there's one end game here.
And
Adam Sandler's going to get the ridiculously hot woman who, like, none of us in this room could get. I'm just going to say that right here. I'm sorry, guys. But
even if she wasn't a successful actress.
Yeah.
She looks amazing in this movie, by the way. She looks amazing.
Yeah.
She always does.
She's a classy lady.
Yeah. She's a classy lady. She looked amazing in that dress, and Adam Sandler looked like
Meanwhile, Walmart at 4 a.m. is going on around her, and she is just smiling like a goddess. God save her.
Going back to the whole, like, adding insult to injury with the female sexism in here, there's a pointless discussion where Jane Krakowski is standing next to Kevin James.
Yeah.
And she's like one of her one line of dialogue. She's like, wait, is she hot?
Yeah,
you know, it's like, you're talking about the girl that Adam Sandler's coming with, so what difference does it make?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, no, of course, you're the most beautiful in the world, and she's just a 10. Which is like immediate, like, yeah, Jane Krakowski, you look like shit, is what the movie just said.
But it's like, why would she
like
be asking?
She is like 50, so.
But why would she even be asking that? Like,
yeah.
It's like, has he gone out with an adult woman? Does he know that, like, no, they're just going to be like, oh, she's pretty cute. Like, just move on. They're not going to care.
As I was watching this movie, it's, because I know it's Adam Sandler, I can't just help but wait for that, like, That thing's going to make the record scratch because he says something homophobic or sexist or racist or just annoying. But at times it overshadows the fact that just the story itself doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no.
At one point that it finally took me away from watching all the sexist thing he was saying is Pac-Man is one of the games they have to play in real life, and Pac-Man doesn't have guns, and so they outfit these cars, and so these nerds evidently are in like a Fast and the Furious where they're all these amazing race car drivers. I was like, that is not a nerd skill. I have so many issues with you movies.
I'm sorry, I know they played Pole Position, but unless they kept playing through Gran Turismo, I don't think
California Cruising steering wheel spins all the way around. I'm sorry, that didn't prepare you for driving little Mini Coopers through New York.
No, you can completely right. Like, if they had a way around it, all you have to do is say that, oh, they made these cars drones.
You had to do was something else.
Yeah.
Or, like, put them like an RC car kind of thing where they had the controller in their hands, not put them in the car. They didn't need to be in the car.
Well,
I guess to crash Peter Dinklage.
Let's go to final thoughts here. Sarah, you got to stop.
Hey, well, to be fair, the movie said nope.
Nope.
It's just an octopus running away.
I have so many issues with this. I didn't entirely hate it. I actually kind of enjoyed the Pac-Man scene. But just a note on the CGI in it. Obviously, we have to compare this to Wreck-It Ralph, because they're both video game-based, arcade-based
movies.
Only
one is really good, and the other one is this pile of poop.
And it's like, you're going to make a movie, I don't know really who this is for, maybe people in their 40s, but you're not going to make it mature enough in terms of humor, so is it for the kids? But it's not bright enough for the kids, it's not, like, fun enough, the graphics aren't too fun. Sorry, I got distracted by a cat. Kenny!
Happens a lot during our reviews.
Yeah. So, I don't know who exactly this is for, other than Adam Sandler and his friends, which all Adam Sandler movies are for.
Yeah, which I'm tired of being his gym sock. Just stay. Do it at home, then. Do it at home, Adam Sandler.
Ew.
That's what he thinks of us, America.
I'll never love again.
I feel even dirtier now.
Yeah.
God,
thanks for that.
Think about it. You heard it. You can't unhear
you just
it.
Just use me and put me away soggy. Oh,
if this movie didn't make me nauseous enough, I'm going to give it 3 out of 10 barf bags.
JC.
One of those was my fault.
The Pac-Man scene and a little bit of the centipede scene, I think, illustrate like how cool of an idea this is on paper. And you could literally put this in the hands of anyone else. Lord Miller, Edgar Wright.
Can you imagine if Lord Miller had their hands on
this? This would have been amazing.
Yeah. This is a cool idea that when people, you know, kind of sit down and hash it out and kind of come up with a story and a script and better actors and things like that, could have been cool. Instead, we get what we get. We get a Happy Madison production. And it's really
what did
all,
you get?
Yeah, it's a Happy Madison production. It's the same thing that they always are. Homophobic. Well, not so much. Well, there was a little bit of there was one scene of homophobia.
Mild homophobia.
Yeah. Sexism. God, not good at all. And if the trailers had let on that Kevin James was the president of the goddamn United States, I wouldn't have seen this movie at all.
Me neither.
Yeah, 3 out of 10 Galagas.
Elliot.
Gallagher.
Yeah.
Come on. Proper.
I mean, looking at this movie.
Gallagher person.
Gallagher American, thank you.
I'm a citizen of the world.
Oh, good lord.
No, now you're a rusty.
We just hated the enemies for America.
I don't know. It's like, you know, looking at this movie, I can't really be angry at any two people besides Adam Sandler and Kevin James. because it just looked like they were just sleepwalking through the roles. They really weren't trying anything. Yeah. I'm looking at Josh Gad and Peter Dinklage and Michelle Monaghan. They're doing what they can with what they're given. And they're not given much. But that being said, the effects are really nice. It has some genuine jokes from, like, Josh Gad. He really hit sometimes. The Pac-Man scene was nice. So I can't say I hated it. So I'm going to have to give it 5 want-want out of 10. It's not, by no means is it a good movie, but if there's one movie that you should maybe try to see in IMAX at the cheapest possible price you can find it, it's this one.
Ashley?
Yeah, I mean, I want to throw him a bone because I feel like Adam Sandler's the, like, grabby uncle, and I went to this family reunion, and he didn't try to molest me. He didn't come out in a full Native American headdress.
And Bill, it's because like
you're getting a little older.
Yeah, it is. I've aged out of his grabby range.
It's like Bill Cosby left your drink alone.
Yeah, he didn't take us to a Hooters. He didn't put anything in my drink.
He did cast Kevin James, though.
So. You sure look good in that bathing suit, Ashley.
Yeah, great. I'm sure it would look better on his floor. Ugh. He looked better in 92.
Not by a sizable margin.
Not really.
No, not really. All, like, snarky comments aside, I think what really bothered me most about this movie is that it had no heart at all. Like, when I think about, like, oh, well, like, what if Edgar Wright or someone like that did make this movie? Someone who actually does love this piece of culture. It was so flat and didn't really dive into it that I don't think this script was written, I'm doing air quotes, by somebody who really loved these things. It didn't have any of the heart, like, say, of your example, Elliot, to Ready Player One. And although it's easy to, like, throw stones at Adam Sandler movies, and I do like to do that, I think that that's really what I was like, nope, no fun. Because, you know, I can go to a dumb comedy and let some stuff slide if I feel like there's some heart underneath it. But I just didn't see it. I don't know. I guess I'll give it 1 out of 10 houses that Peter Dinklage was probably able to buy with the money, and I still forgive you.
You know, Ashley, you said, you know, I wanted those stones. I feel like Jesus himself could come down and be like, he that is without sin be the first to throw stones at Adam Sandler, and he just boulders would come raining.
just
barrels.
Donkey Jesus.
That's a second coming I can get behind.
Sorry, Chris.
You know, I agree with you completely about the thing. It's just flat. It's got no heart to it. And sure enough, this is written by Tim Hurley. He is a regular Adam Sandler collaborator on pretty much just his worst movies. Like, I mean, like, you look like Bedtime Story.
Did he also do Punch Up on the Love Guru in his spare time?
Just one of those guys who doesn't have an ounce of talent in his body. Why they keep working together can only be explained by they're old friends. And they are. They've been working together since the Saturday Night Live days. It's like, as Sandler, you know, as much as I hate him as a creative force, apparently he's one of the nicest guys in the world because he has somehow managed to make a career out of partying with all his old friends and throwing money at them.
He
for
put all
years.
His points in charisma.
You know,
you gotta know something about nice guys.
Yeah.
If you reject them, they will call you a bitch.
Because they deserve your adulation.
Yes. This movie felt like Adam Sandler calling me a bitch. It is so, it is so stupid. It is so not funny. I mean, like, really wildly unfunny. It's filled with product placement. I mean, oh my god, there's even a moment where they made poor Michelle Monaghan drink a Bud Light.
Yes.
And she's go, like, refreshing.
Well, and you're then, like, are you kidding? Did that just happen on screen? Like, there's lots of moments like that throughout this. And, I mean, obviously, whoever owns the rights currently to all these video game characters is banking on this being a hit so they can put out, you know, probably phone game versions of them and sell them for a bunch of money. This is just the most pandering type of nonsensical garbage that the only moments it works is, like, really for me, the one thing I was like, oh, that was kind of cool was the centipede fight.
Yeah.
I was like, that looked pretty cool. But other than that, man, I couldn't get behind any of this. I really, if this was the old days, I would have walked out of this movie. But frankly, I was just about by the halfway point, I was like, I'm so done with you, movie. You are just nonsensical garbage of the lowest, most insulting kind. Mm-hmm. I give this 1 billion death threats out of 1 Googleplex death threats to Adam Sandler.
So what percent is that?
It's very low.
It's like, and may God have mercy on your soul. Nothing was learned. We are all stupider for having watched that movie.
Game over.
And not to mention, Krusty Jim socked. That's now a
verb. Oh my
well,
god,
that's gonna happen once a week. You hang out with me.
Oh god, my stomach literally
turned. Think about it.